Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Coach's Headset right here on UCSportsNation.com. We're brought to you by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent. I'm your host, Amos Rogan, and we're very happy to have the first-year head coach of the White County High School Warrior football team on the line with us, head coach Mark Frazier. Coach Frazier, thanks for being on the podcast with us.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you having me.
You know, I know you've got some athletic background behind you and everything. Why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into playing football, and I know you played other sports as well, but kind of how you got into playing football, but then how you got into the coaching side of things.
Well, as far as the football goes, I guess I kind of was an odd bird. I loved it since I was tiny. You need to get my parents to tell stories about me trying to watch football. They used to punish me if I didn't want to go to church when I was like 5 and 6. They wouldn't let me watch football when we came back. So I guess I was at a young age. So I'd always go because I wanted to watch those games. Now, that was back in the day when you had one game a day, Amos. You may remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Go back one down, Channel 5. But no, I've always loved the game. I played since I was small. I played junior pro. And sometimes I look back and, you know, some of those coaches that were there that started when I was in second, third, fourth grade, and you look back on those guys and realize how much of an impact that those coaches have. I still remember them. Of course, I obviously came into White County Middle School and played. I had two coaches there, with Coach Farley and Coach Haley, that were both guys that I could tell a lot of stories just from those years. So I loved playing. We had some good times. Probably the biggest thing is camaraderie that we had from those guys. You know, I got a couple guys on my staff that, you know, I played ball with throughout my young years there. And then obviously went on to high school, played 4 years there at Sparta. And then as far as college ball goes, I did play some college ball. I walked on and played at UT, and I was you know, lucky enough to get to run through the tee, and that was a great experience. So I don't know that, you know, a lot of people think that's a big deal, and I am very proud that I got to do that, but I didn't feel like I was part of the team. I didn't really get to play, so I guess maybe it's not as big to me as it is to some. But I did learn, you know, the some things there about the college atmosphere and the college game. And then I left UT, and I went to Carson Newman and played. They had offered me a scholarship out of a high school, and I called him and asked if they still would want me, and they said sure. So I went down there and played a year for them. I blew my knee out, and that was the end of my playing days. I decided I had enough. So I played a couple years of college ball, then came back. And, you know, from then on out, it was more of the coaching aspect as far as from there. I don't know if you want to hear any more about the athletic stuff. It's probably not very good. Amos, the rest of it was not nearly as impressive as the football side. I did play some sports. I played baseball and played tennis and played basketball. You know, got to get on the floor as a high school athlete, but there was not a lot of college in my future as far as that went.
Well, you know, I think that especially now, there's so many kids and so many people out there talking in their ears going, you need to specialize in one particular sport or even one particular position within a sport, that I think it is important to kind of put out there that, hey, kids need to be well-rounded. They need to play multiple sports, because not only does it help them from a physical standpoint, it kind of gives them a break from some of these other things that are going on.
Well, we were just talking about that today. You know, back then you played three sports. That was just what you did. You know, and I wouldn't have traded it for the world. Like I said, all my other friends played baseball and basketball, so I was excited to play that. But you're right. A lot of people nowadays think you should specialize, and I think that's the worst idea in the world. I know I'll get a lot of backlash for saying that, but as a football coach, I want my kids to play basketball. And, you know, I think as a basketball coach, I think you'd be crazy not to want your kid to play football. You'll look and see most of the most physical players on the basketball court are football players normally. And, you know, I'm not saying you're automatically good at basketball because you play football or vice versa, but I do think that it makes you better for whatever your skill or talent level is. I know this much as a college recruiter, these guys that come in, you know, they much rather see a guy that's a 2 or 3 sports star as opposed to just playing one. So, and you know, for most of these kids, there is no college coming. I mean, 99% of them are playing high school and that's it. So just the experience of getting to play other sports in high school, I think is something that these kids don't need to pass up. They need to enjoy their high school years. Cause tell them all it's going to go downhill from there, and they all laugh at me. But I said, then you got to start work. So, so I think it is important for them all to play as many as they can.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that influenced you as a coach. You know, playing at UT, walking on there, getting that type of exposure, but even more so, and maybe a lot of people, especially around these parts, may not remember or realize. But Carson Newman football was a very big deal in NAIA for a very long time, winning multiple national championships in the NAIA ranks. Tell us a little bit about how that type of experience and maybe some of the other things that you've been around kind of got you in to the coaching side of things and what influenced you in terms of philosophy.
Well, you know, I will say this, and one thing, and it is kind of neat for me to say this, you know, Lovie Smith was my defensive back coach at UT. It was Phil Fulmer's first year, so Lovie Smith now at Illinois, but he went to the Rams and you know, won a Super Bowl. I think he won a Super Bowl as a defense coordinator with the Rams, but very successful, went on to be the Bears coach forever, you know. Mm-hmm. And then at Carson Newman, you know, you're correct. Carson Newman was considered a powerhouse when I was there. It was a – they expected to win championships, and so it was neat. We had just moved up in classification when I was there 2 years before that, and Ken Sparks was our coach, and Ken just passed away here, but I think he went down as a top 5 all-time winningest coach. I'm not sure exactly where he finished
that. Something
but,
like that.
So
yeah.
I was really lucky to have some really impressive, you know, college coaches that were there to influence me. But to be honest with you, you know, I did learn some football there and you know, some how to run a program and that type of stuff. But I honestly learned more when I got into the coaching. I went to finish up my degree and left and took a job in 1999 at Oconee County, Georgia. It was a high school that before, the year before I got there had gone 8-2 and won a game or two in the playoffs. But then before that, they'd been very similar to what Sparta's been through as far as a long drought of winning. So went down there with a guy named Jeff Heron. Jeff Arnett was a friend of mine from here. He was Sparta's head coach, and I helped him 1 year as a volunteer there, and then went down to Oconee County. And we were, you know, lucky, and I say lucky enough, I was lucky enough to be a part of a staff that went undefeated and won a state championship in Georgia. Was lucky to coach. Oh, I think we had 7 college guys on defense that we coached. I got to coach Tony Taylor as a free safety my first year. He played for the Atlanta Falcons, led Georgia in interceptions his senior year. So that's an experience that you don't get to have a lot. I probably at the time didn't realize how unique that experience was, to be honest with you. And then I look back on it now and don't realize, you know, I tell them now, I talk with Coach Heron and Coach Arnett, and we laugh about it. I thought I was really something special. I started coaching. We won all these games. I thought I knew what I was doing. It turns out it helps when you got a bunch of good players out there for you. So, but I will say that from those, and I stayed there 3 years, we ended up going 35-5, I think. I may be off a game or two on that, but went to the playoffs every year, went to the third round, had a chance to win it every year we were there, and had a lot of players that were just top-notch players. So learned a lot from those guys on how to run a program. And if I had to say the biggest impact on my coaching philosophy, it came during those, you know, first 2 or 3 years that I was coaching. So learned a lot from those fellows.
Well, you must have learned quite a bit, you know, being named assistant coach of the year a couple of times while you were down there. You know, I think that that kind of speaks to your level of being able to pick some of this stuff up.
Well, you know, and that's, you get some stuff like that, those awards. I'm proud of those awards, but in reality, that comes down to the whole staff that we had and the players that we had on those teams. So Jeff Arnett was the defense coordinator. Coach Heron won the state championship that year and moved on to another school. And I think he's won 4 more since then, by the way. He actually, you know, maybe coming back to this area. He just retired with another state championship a couple years ago. So But learned a lot from him. But then also Coach Arnett kept me on as a coordinator the next couple of years on the defense. And really, to be true, you know, he was still had his hands on that defense. I learned a lot from him there as far as, you know, and basically the stuff that we did then is still the footprint of what we do now at Sparta. And that's, you know, obviously you learn from the guys first off, and it worked there. So, you know, we're going to try to incorporate a lot of that stuff here. So I was appreciative for those guys to give me the opportunity. And like I said, I learned a lot from them during those early years of coaching.
We're talking to the head coach of the White County High School football team, head coach Mark Frazier, right here on Inside the Coach's Headset. I'm your host, Amos Rogan, and you are listening to Inside the Coach's Headset on UCSportsNation.com. Coach, you know, let's kind of talk about where you're at now in your program, your first year. You know, one of the things that I really noticed in looking and watching the guys on the sideline this year as opposed to years past, and not necessarily in recent past years, but just over the amount of time that I've been around in and around White County, there was a noticeable change this year in really two things. What I thought was mental toughness, but really the offensive and defensive lines of this football team this past year was two things: increasingly bigger and stronger, and just really executing at a higher level than I think I've ever seen before. Talk to us a little bit about how you were able to come in and really within one season. And I know it's, you know, one season isn't from, you know, August to December,
right, right,
or November. You know, this started back in the summer of 2018. Tell us a little bit about how you got in there, what you really wanted to focus on, and how those resulted in some stronger lines.
Well, I mean, it's not really a secret. The biggest thing that we can do as coaches anywhere in football, especially, is the weight room. I've preached it, and luckily I've got a staff that, you know, agrees with me, and we spend a lot of time in the weight room. Now, I'll say, not to disagree with you, but I still think we've got a long way to go. There were games where, you know, we probably were outsized, and then the other team maybe had a little more size and strength than we did up front. But the thing you mentioned earlier was the mental toughness about it. We really tried to talk about how, regardless of how big and how strong you were, that you've got to fight like it's the last play you're ever going to get to play. And I think that we saw some of that, you know, as the guys sort of bought into the system. I've got to give a lot of credit to the guys that coached with me. The head coach it's funny, you know, you get a lot of credit. Sometimes you get a lot of the blame. I probably deserve the blame, but the credit part of it, we've got some guys that are – we're into the thought of being able to turn Sparta football around. And so these guys get in there and they get after these young men. But I will say what they do, to mention some names, you know, Michael Sloan and J.J. Morris are volunteers that work for me. Now, Curtis Beatty's my defensive coordinator. He does a great job. Greg Seagrave's the offensive coordinator, does a great job. Mm-hmm. But some of the guys that people don't know about, most people know those guys at this point if you know anything about Sparta football. But you don't know the guys like Sloan and J.J. and Jordan Bailey and Jason Harris and Coach Wilson is our wide receivers coach. These guys bought into the system that we have got to work like crazy on, you know, in the weight room and on the practice field, because we're not talented enough to go out there and just out-athlete people. So the coaching staff bought in, and I think when the players saw that, you know, these guys, you know, coaching-wise really were – believed that what we were doing was going to pay off on the field, they started buying in. Another thing that I think is important is that, you know, my coaching staff, and I know other coaching staff are the same way, but, you know, they care about these kids. And I think that's important. You know, if the kids know you care about them, you can push them. You know, it's easier to push them harder when they know that you're doing it in their best interest, not just because you're yelling at them. And so all my staff is that way. So to answer your question, you know, as far as the maybe some of the success on the line play and the mental toughness part, I think it comes from that. When you get pushed in the weight room every day and then things don't go perfectly on the field, then you can overcome that a little bit more than maybe if you're used to everything being a little bit easier and, you know, things going according to plan and, you know, the coach is not pushing you, then whenever you get in the game, it's hard to turn that switch. So we try to do that in the off season. Like I said, that's not anything that's you know, some new idea. That's what people have been doing for years. But we just felt like it was important as a Sparta football team to get back and try to show some toughness. And we really harped at the beginning of the year, no matter what the score is, that we want to play hard. And I thought that that paid off, too, because, we, you know, we got behind in half the games we played. You know, half the games we won, we were behind in. Mm-hmm. And kids didn't give up. They fought back. And so, you know, I'm proud of that part of it. And I think that it's going to continue to get better.
Well, you know, you hit on something. And the record that this football program held coming into your first season was not really one that anybody was overly proud of for. And you know, a lot of times, you know, you would see when, when the kids get, you know, you go down by a touchdown and then, you know, you could see those heads drop on the sideline going, well, here we go again. That's a big hill to climb, especially when, you know, you had a lot of returning players. You had a lot of seniors on this team that have, you know, been – 3 and 4 year players on this program. Tell us how, you know, the change in the mentality of getting out of that rut of here we go again type of thing. How did you guys kind of attack that and change that mentality?
Well, you know, that was one thing. You know, I'd like to sit here and tell you I knew what the outcome were going to be of these games. We started with Cannon County, which I thought was a good football team, and they ended up having a good year. They had some injuries that hurt them maybe down the line that cost them some games. We started the first game, and they come out and go right down the field and score a touchdown. I said, I'm looking at the field, and me and our coaches said, you get to hear a collective sigh come out of the stadium of that here we go again mentality. But now, that was one thing we preached that from day one, that, you know, no matter what happens, no matter if we get down 14, down 21, down 28, we're going to fight till the end. And it happened right off the bat. We end up, you know, coming back and winning that game. It was a hard fought game, and I thought Cannon played real well. But we ended up coming out on top of that game. We ended up going in the next game, the same deal, and behind at halftime and came back. But I tell you, gaming is a game that we lost, and I felt like it was the game that really turned the real tied that everybody as far as the senior class and all the players started believing in. It was our third game against CAK, and we actually got behind 25-7, down, you know, 2.5 scores there. So it was pretty looking pretty bleak, and we came back and we got beat 32-29, but we, you know, actually had a chance there at the end of the game to get a stop and have a chance to win. So I think that the belief in themselves was actually turned during that game. And, you know, it didn't mean that we were going to win every game, and obviously we did. We lost some games there. But I don't think there was games that we didn't come out and fight as hard as we could. I felt like those guys, hey, we're going to play as hard as we can play. And as a coach, what else can you ask? You know, if they're going to give you everything they've got, then that's all I can ask from them. So I felt like that, you know, once again, the staff and we harped on that so much that they could probably recite it in their sleep that, hey, you know, we're not quitting. We're not going to quit. And so, you know, I was proud of them. Sometimes that's easy to say. And then if you've had 2 or 3 years of not a lot of success, that it's hard to believe in it. But we got over that first game hump. I thought that was huge. And then those guys after game three, from then on out, I felt like I didn't have to worry about whether we were going to get a good effort or not. So very proud of the seniors for that. Proud of the guys for buying in and believing in themselves. So that was important.
And, you know, along with, you know, some coaches that you have on your staff there that have kind of bought in and have vested interest, you know, some of them, you know, kind of came up through the junior pro ranks and middle school, just, you know, just like you did, you being the head coach of the middle school team before, you know, last year. But on top of that, bringing in a character coach and a chaplain, you know, onto your team to kind of help along with, you know, the mentality of this football team. It's, you know, football is more than just, you know, blocking and tackling. It shapes young men's minds and characters and lives to move forward to be good citizens in our community. And I thought it was really cool that you brought on these two guys, Coach Chris and Coach Carey, and being, you know, pastors in the local community, but also, you know, just for those guys to really pour in to these young men to make them better young men, not just better football players.
Yeah, not only that, too. You know, Philip Hensley came and spoke to us once a week. He's an SCA guy, and I thought he did a spectacular job. And a lot of, you know, those guys are doing that because it's you know, they're not getting any money. They're doing that because they care about the kids. So, and, you know, you mentioned back to some guys that came up through the, you know, when I mentioned, you know, Michael Sloan and J.J. Morris, those guys have coached these kids since they were little. And they've always wanted to be able to coach, you know, at the junior high and high school level. And so they truly care about the kids. Don't get me wrong now. They want to win football games, too. we like to win. Winning makes it a lot. That's what we tell them. Everything's better when you win. So we want to win games. But now I'll say this, win or lose, they care about the kids. I care about the kids. And I think it's very important. Some of these guys, you know, don't have the home lives. You know, and I guess that was one thing that really – shocked me. I think of Sparta, Tennessee, and you don't think of the, you know, you hear about, hey, kids don't have daddies and kids don't have mamas and kids don't. Well, that's true here, too. A lot of guys on the team don't have that influence. So if we can help in any way there, that's, you know, we're trying to do that. And you know, like I said before, the coaches care about the kids, and it helps. I think it does make a difference in them. I do, and I hope it does, certainly.
I don't think you can find, besides yourself, and I know all of them do, just as you said, but I don't think you can find a more energetic high school football coach than Mike Sloan. That dude is, he is electric when he's on the sideline. I love to watch him.
I tell you what was funny this year, we had a practice and we're out there and, you know, there's some screaming goes on here and there, and I'll say this too. I've got a couple. You know, Jordan Bailey can get going. There's a Coach Seagraves can get going, but now Sloan probably is a different level. We were sitting there as far as it's being loud and going on. We're at practice, and he's over there with the offensive line, and I think I had defensive backs or something out there. Maybe we were throwing some 7-on-7. I can't remember what there was, but I'm trying to talk, and I hear he starts getting on these linemen, and I couldn't keep going. Well, I waited about 10 seconds, and I started to try to go again. He wasn't done yet. So after about 30 seconds, I told all the guys, well, let's just listen to what he's got to say, and then we'll start back when he's done. So we just took a break and listened to Sloan get on to the offensive lineman, and we turned around and said, see, you could be over there.
Yeah,
so you need to pick it up. You ought to be happy you're over here with me.
And the funny thing is when you're in a room with him, you'd never know he's in there. He's quiet as a mouse.
Quiet as a mouse. He's going to be, but he gets out there and gets going. I could sit here and tell you some Sloan stories. Probably I'll tell you one. It'd be the last one. When we did get to Coastal Junior, which I didn't mention that, I was going to say that was actually an important thing for me. It's actually my first head coaching experience, and I know middle school is a different level, but it did help me learn some things as far as running the team. But Sloan's on the sideline, and Sloan likes to throw his hat down when his guys aren't doing very well, and he throws his hat, and he picks it up and throws it down, and he normally throws it right at his feet. Well, he actually got it hung up, and he let it go early, and he threw it all the way out to the hash mark, and he about hit a referee on his feet. He wasn't meaning to, and I know he wasn't meaning to. You could see it. You could see the shock when he looked up and he let his hat go. So from here on out, we make sure he throws his hat back toward the fence and not out toward the field. So we'll try to keep him doing a little better job at that. But, no, I love him. The passion is there, and that's what makes him a good football coach.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the community and, you know, the Upper Cumberland community as a whole is a special area when it comes to high school athletics. Always very supportive, no matter what it is. Tell us a little bit about how in this, what I would call rebuilding year, and it was a successful rebuilding year, even though I know you would say you didn't win as many games as you like to, and that's what every coach should say. But you won 5 games when there wasn't any games won the last 2.5 years. So, in retrospect, it is, you know, it's a successful rebuilding year. But the community support of this year versus what has been in the recent past, in my mind, has been overwhelming. How did that help you show the kids, hey, there's more people than these guys that are on the sideline here behind you and really rooting for you?
Well, I tell you, you're correct in that the community doesn't really realize how important they are seeing them in the stands makes these kids, it's such a huge difference. We had a game where we had a big flood, and we didn't have many people there, understandably. I mean, it was terrible weather. But we struggled, and I tell you, I think a lot of that was because of the crowd. We just didn't have them there, and not. Let me make sure I'm not complaining about that game. If you remember, it was an absolute monsoon.
Yeah,
thought
it
about
was.
Calling
it was
it
horrible.
Off, so. But the games, the other games that we had 7 home games. The other games, we had such a great turnout, and I really feel like it made a difference. And it's not only on Friday nights. We've got guys that have done things for us in our locker room. We've got guys that donated to buy shoulder pads and helmets, and I could go on and on and on. None of those people want me to mention their names, or I would like to mention all of them, and talk about all the stuff that they did. So, I mean, there's no doubt. I'll give you one thing to tell you, and most people will know who Cade Clark is. He's a basketball player, football mm-hmm. player, one of our best players,
sure,
one of our leaders, and obviously he is on the basketball team doing a great job this year on the basketball court as well. But we walked out to a scrimmage, and he said, "This is more people than have been to my games in the last, you know." So they know when the people are there to watch. So, I mean, it's a huge impact for the people. And to hear it in the community, the pats on the back, and you know, hey, you did a good job this year, it means a lot to these kids. So we're very appreciative. And to come support a team that, to be honest, hasn't been very successful in the past was very impressive. And I think it speaks highly of the Sparta community and how they supported us. And, you know, even though, like I said, we didn't have the greatest history in the past, but they came out this year, and we were very appreciative for them to be there.
And one of the traditions that you guys started was kind of in memory of Coach Jake Morris, who was very influential in the junior pro, and I think even coached a little bit in middle school as well, who unfortunately passed away. But if you ever come to a White County High School football game, from here moving forward, about, I would say, regardless of what the score is, about a minute and a half left in the game, you start people standing up and moving down onto the track, and you think, well, everybody's going home. But they're not. They're lining the fence for what happens right after the game, which is giving every player as they walk off the field a high five. Tell us how that kind of got started and how special it is to have that type of unique tradition there in White County.
Once again, I've got to give all the credit for that to J.J. Morris and to Michael Sloan, again, guys that coached. Jacob Sparkman helped coach down there, and obviously Jake as well. Jake, you know, we have Ultimate Warrior Night for Jake because, you know, he was the epitome of what a football player is supposed to be like. Tough, great athlete, and, you know, everybody remembers Jake. My kids still talk about Jake coaching them. You know, he was rough on them too. And for, you know, and they loved him for that. You know, it was fun, some of the things that Jake would tell them. So, you know, going to the thing where giving the high fives, that was something that they started down at the youth level after every game, just to basically give the players a chance to say thank you back to them, and the parents and the community enjoyed it. And so, I'll be honest, I didn't even know that it was going to happen. You know, I didn't realize, you know, but those parents have came up with these kids that are now the freshman and sophomore class at all. Gone through with JJ and Mike, so that kind of just happened, and we were excited about it. You know, we saw them coming to line up, and I said, "Hey, you know, I don't even know if I said that. I think Sloan may have got him in line to go do that to start with the first game," and it continued to grow. I think it's a great tradition. Those guys love it when the guys line up and they get a chance to see the smiling faces and say hi to the mom and dads and everybody else that's there. So. It's really unique, and I hope it continues.
Well, I hope that the success and the building of this program continues on. I have no doubt in my mind with you and your coaches and the support from the White County and Sparta community that it's going to be. Coach Frazier's, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast. It's been fun, and we hope to have you on here again sometime.
That sounds good. Sounds good. Anytime, Amos. I'm sure you enjoyed that UT football game as well, right?
Absolutely.
I know you said we can't talk college sports. We can talk it for a second, though.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I'll always make time for a Tennessee Vol conversation. No doubt about it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Anytime, man. I thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Inside the Coach's Headset right here on UCSportsNation.com. I'm your host, Amos Rogan. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please share it. Let your friends know. We're trying our best to highlight the great coaches that we have in our Upper Cumberland high schools. Until next time, be blessed, and thanks very much for listening.
Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.